Welcome to the show. Hannah from Pages, Places and Plates is back with some more book reviews. This time we're looking at Catalyst by Tracy Richardson, The Dark Stalkers by Henry Bassett, and Wandless by James Batchelor. So first of all, welcome back. Hannah, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, how are you?
Yep, not too bad, thank you. I've started another work in progress and it's taken my mind well away from everything I'm meant to be doing.
What's it about?
This one's a sci-fi. I have written sci-fi before, but one of the things that I almost always advise new writers not to do, and that is to have more than six characters. I rarely work on more than six characters. This one has got 13.
Oh, wow.
I've separated them into groups, so potentially it is working fine and it's quite exciting at the moment to do, you know, something like that. So I'm quite happy and it's a nice challenge, so I'll see where that takes me, really.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff. So first of all, let's get straight to the books. What drew you to each of these books?
Well, they're all a little bit different to what I usually read. So you'll notice there's quite a fantasy theme with these three books. Mm-hmm. And fantasy is a genre that I want to read more of, but I never do. I think because I get distracted by all the other genres that I love.
Yeah.
And the thing is that fantasy is one of those ones. So I play a lot of fantasy in gaming. Mm-hmm. I adore like Elder Scrolls and Skyrim and all those sorts of games that are very heavy fantasy. But for some reason, I don't engage with it in other formats. So I don't really watch any fantasy, apart from Harry Potter, obviously. And I don't read any either. So I kind of made a mental note to myself this year to try and read a little bit more fantasy, because it is a genre that I just don't really engage with enough.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these are fantasy, basically, or sci-fi.
Excellent stuff. Well, I'm obviously picking the right week to talk about these, aren't I?
Yeah.
So let's talk about Catalyst by Tracy Richardson. What's this one about?
Okay, so this is a young adult book. So this is more sci-fi than fantasy. To be honest, I struggle to fit this into one genre, which I'll explain later on. But it's a young adult book that is focused around environmental issues, which I think is a really important message to be getting out, especially to young adults, because obviously they are our generation of change. It's basically, we've got a set of main characters. Marnie is the main character, and they are at an archaeological dig site doing some kind of summer project work, and they basically realise, or they're given the responsibility to have to make a massive impact in terms of stopping fracking and convincing the planet, basically, that it's not a good idea, and that the Earth is in quite a big danger. I thought this was like a really good thing to look on, because obviously fracking is very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of it. It's interesting, this one was set in America, actually, but we've had a lot of issues over here in the UK, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Fracking making the news and residents being concerned, and then there's been possible quakes caused by it and all sorts of things. So the moral of the story of this one really is that, you know, you've got these characters fighting against fracking, so that's kind of the enemy, which I liked that as a plot.
That's an interesting one. It's not I was going to say it's not your usual, but then, as you said, you know, you wanted to get back into a lot of this kind of stuff. Environmental issues are very much on your radar anyway, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it kind of, in a subgenre kind of way, it probably would end up being on your radar at some point, I would think.
Yeah, it was one that I was I was offered to be on the blog tour for it, it was that the plot that made me think, yes, I want to read that.
Mm. So was it a fun read?
Well, it just didn't it didn't kind of grab me in the way I'd hoped. I mean, as I said, I'm so passionate about saving the environment and, you know, environmental issues. And I just found it really underwhelming. So it wasn't that it was a bad read. I felt the plot was too ambitious. So obviously it's a big topic anyway, but halfway through the book, and this is why I can't really define it properly, but it just turns a little bit bizarre, and it doesn't start off as a sci-fi. It's a fiction with a kind of fantasy edge, but then suddenly halfway through it goes a bit weird, and then it gets really quite sci-fi, and that becomes like a really big element of it. But I felt like it felt like it was misplaced, and it felt like, I think the author was overly ambitious with what she was trying to achieve, when maybe she should have just stuck with what she was doing in the first half, and developed the story a little bit differently. I think I would have preferred that.
Oh, okay. I mean, do you think that maybe she was trying to incorporate maybe too many genres and subgenres?
Yeah, it was a real surprise when it kind of almost changed genre, and it was, I don't know, I remember reading it, I was thinking, what? How did this happen? This is completely different to everything I've just read. And sometimes that can work in books. I have actually read books, I can't think of any, but I know I have read books where there has been a genre change in the middle and it's worked. But I think you have to write it in a very specific way, and I think it's a really hard thing to do. And so I felt I kind of wish it had just been one or the other.
Yeah.
A mishmash of both.
Alright. I mean, I've seen films that begin in one genre and then halfway through they change. And does it only happen, do you think, if it's accidental?
I don't know. I think it works better if it's deliberate, but done really well. So this felt a little bit like a tangent, almost. And then it just, I think it works in films where in films, for example, you know, like From Dusk Till Dawn and ones like that, where it's kind of stylized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very intentional thing. But yeah, I don't know, I didn't vibe with it.
I feel really sorry for the author, actually, because they've probably put their heart and soul in it. But if it doesn't work, yeah.
Nothing against the author, because she clearly has a big passion and she has so much ambition with this. But I think sometimes, actually, you can be overly ambitious with a book.
Right.
And I think sometimes, and especially as this, I believe there will be more. So this is actually second in a series.
Oh.
So I haven't read the first one, but you don't need to read the first one to understand this one. It's kind of more like same characters, different plot. But I just feel like she maybe had so much she was passionate about, it would have been better to just identify a few key things and write about those.
All right, that's interesting. Do you think the cover connected to the title?
I really like the cover, actually. The cover becomes understandable while you're reading it, and mm-hmm. you suddenly understand what it is on the front. I actually really like the cover for this one. It's quite pretty and simple.
Yeah, it's like some sort of crystal, isn't it, being held in the hands?
I think it will attract the right readers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good young adult style cover.
Do you know what, when we talk about books, it's rare that you say the things that you're saying about this one in the very first book, isn't it? What do you think was the best and worst thing about it for you, then?
Obviously, I really liked the scene. Behind it and the lessons, I thought that was really important.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I really liked, which is a bit rounded, but so in a lot of young adult books, well, not a lot, but there's definitely a recurring theme of this, of books where there's a relationship and there's kind of no point why it's there. It's just to throw in a relationship because young adults like that.
Okay.
And it's not really meaningful, whereas there's a really meaningful relationship in this one between the main character and someone called Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting because the main character is anti-fracking and Leo is pro-fracking, so they have really, really different viewpoints.
Right.
And the author has used this as a way to explore relationships with people that maybe don't have the same opinions and whether that can work or not. And I thought that was actually a really interesting thing to do, because I think there's a lot of, I don't know, to around today especially, a lot of kind of, if you share different opinions, maybe you won't work and, you know, you can't be friends with each other and that sort of thing, when actually you can. And I think the author highlights that really well with this, as she really explores how to make a relationship work, even if you have such a fundamental different point of view over something.
Gosh, yeah. I do wonder how many other readers look into it and analyse the things that we analyse in books, though, don't you?
Yeah, me too. Sometimes I'm analysing it, I think, am I over-analysing this?
Yeah. Oh, so you think, should I just read it and accept it rather than challenge anything?
But no, I thought that was really I really like that she's actually made the relationship really purposeful for a change. And I mean, the thing I liked least about it was that I just didn't really get on with the writing style. Mm-hmm. It was written in first-person present, which I'm not a massive fan of,
okay.
Unless it's done in a specific way, but... it just came across as very narrative, and the dialogue felt a little bit textbook, so not as people would naturally talk, if that makes sense. Yeah.
So you said this was the second in a set of books. Will you source the first one from this author?
After reading it, I probably won't.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I have looked over reviews on Goodreads as well, and she has got a following that have enjoyed it and have enjoyed the first one as well. But for me personally, it didn't stand out enough, especially with the limited amount of time I have to read things.
Yeah.
It didn't stand out enough for me to want to go and read the other one.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, that's an interesting point to make. Anyway, you know, you can't like every single book you're going to read. It wouldn't be
For a start, it wouldn't be realistic to expect you to like every single one, would it?
Mm-hmm. No, maybe I think it's good to. I think it's good to kind of not always enjoy things as well, because you're still reading outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah,
and you can learn from it in a different way, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Right, let's move on to The Dark Stalkers by Henry Bassett. What's this one about?
This is a really interesting one. So this is a novella. It's in a 6-part series, and it's the first one. And it's experimental fiction. So do you remember, Anton Einar, an author I've reviewed a lot of, his first short story I reviewed was only dialogue. Which I thought was really interesting. This one has no dialogue whatsoever, so it's the complete opposite, which I thought was quite funny. So this book is basically, again, I don't really know what genre it comes under. It's kind of fantasy a bit, but maybe it's sci-fi.
I mean, it could still be experimental fiction, couldn't it?
Yeah, let's go with that. It's easier. but basically, it follows... So your main character is called Martha, and it follows her. It's a little bit literary in a way, just because there is no... I wouldn't say the plot is crystal clear. So it follows her going through a series of days. And then it also follows the exact... They're kind of paralleling each other, the two paths that you're following. So you see everything from Martha's point of view, and then you're following the same situation and time frame, but you're following these strange shadows, and we don't know anything about the shadows, and we obviously learn more about them as we read, but we don't know whether they're good or bad, or maybe they're neither good or bad, and we don't know what they are, where they're from, what their purpose is. So they're quite an interesting thing to follow, because you're really wondering, like, what are these shadows? Where did they come from? So you're kind of following both, and it's very, as there's no... dialogue, it's very focusing on the description and the narrative instead.
Mm-hmm. That's an unusual one, isn't it? I mean, I tend to focus on dialogue and characterization. They're probably my strongest two points. So focusing on
non-dialogue, I feel like it's not going to come alive, but is it passive, or does it feel active?
That is a good point, because I did feel like the characters were a bit flat. I felt like they weren't developed as much as they could be, and I think that probably is because there was no dialogue. As it's very hard, isn't it, to build up a character when you never actually hear them speak. You don't hear their language, their words, their thoughts. For that reason, I actually preferred following the story of the shadows over the story of Martha, because with the shadows, it doesn't matter so much that there's no dialogue.
Right.
Because do we know if they can even talk? You know, we don't know what they are. So it worked a lot better for that side. However, I wouldn't say the whole story was flat. The world was incredibly animated, because there was so much description and narrative. And I felt like the world was really brought to life. There were some really nice descriptions that were used, that kind of yeah, just made it feel alive. And there was just some of the writing, like the writing was hit and miss for me. Some of it I felt was a bit repetitive because there was no dialogue, so there was a lot of she did this, she did that.
Yeah.
But then some of it I absolutely loved. There was one bit of dialogue in particular, I've written it down. So try and imagine what kind of scene is going on here. So if I quote it, as those who had already been poisoned stumbled and collapsed around them, like what do you think's happening in that phrase?
Well, it's hard to know, to be honest.
Quite negative though, doesn't it?
Yeah, and also they and them.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it sounds like we're in a threatening situation. It sounds a bit tense, uneasy. And then what I really like that the author's done is, so this is actually describing a nightclub being poisoned with the alcohol, and they're stumbling around because they're drunk. And he uses really uneasy descriptions to describe non-uneasy situations, which builds up the tension throughout the story until you get to the uneasy bits. And I thought that was really clever.
So is it metaphorical?
In a way, yeah. It's a writing style I haven't really seen before, but that bit really stood out to me because I thought, you know, that's not an uneasy situation at all, but it's made me feel uneasy.
Right.
And then that impacts how you feel in the rest of it, because you're already uneasy, aren't you? You're already like, what's happening?
Right, okay. So, I thought the cover on this one looked atmospheric. Did it connect with the content?
Yeah.
And also, did it make you feel like it was going to be, you were going to be uneasy?
Yeah, I did feel like the cover reflected that. Because it is mysterious, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's not really anything going on in it as such. So, yeah, I did like the cover.
So the uneasiness that you felt within the dialogue... No, there is no dialogue. Within the narrative... That's a tough one to get my head around, actually. But the uneasiness that you felt, were you expecting that
because of the cover, do you think?
Yeah, it was a really uneasy read. And I think it's because some of the characters you're following, you don't even know what they are. And you're walking really blind into it. You have no idea what's going to happen. It's definitely not the sort of book where you can even guess.
Is it an easy read, do you think?
Yeah, I found it fairly easy to read. I mean, it was really short. So, novella-sized. So, yeah, I read it quickly. It was easy to read. It was just those bits that felt repetitive that I felt weren't so easy to read. So
yeah.
Where the dialogue would have broken it up nicely if the dialogue was there. Some of that was a little bit of a slog. But generally, I'd say it was a fairly easy read.
I've written down the question, did it make you think? But I feel like that should probably be more emphasised by, did it make you think on the right lines of what the author was trying to say?
I think so. It's just bizarre. It's really hard to explain unless you're discussing it with someone that's also read it. And I don't want to give too much away as well. I think, at least partly, I think I was thinking the right things. But I remember there was one point towards the end where I remember thinking, what did the author mean by this?
Mm.
And I did have to really think about that. So I think maybe some things have got lost in translation.
Perhaps sometimes with books, you have to look at them in a very different way to how you would normally read a book.
Yeah, I think this is that kind of book.
It's troublesome in a way, actually, for me, because you have to be in a particular frame of mind to even want to read a book sometimes. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, if you're not in the right frame of mind and it's expecting you to do a lot of the work, rather than the author doing a lot of the work for the reader. Sometimes there's books where the reader has to do a lot of the work and there's only a little bit given by the author. Sometimes that's almost an offering of putting the book down.
Yeah, I do find those kind of books difficult sometimes because I don't know. I'm very good at picking up what's going to happen and things like that, but sometimes I do miss the meaning of things. I have noticed sometimes I have to reread things or I don't actually realise something was trying to say something until I've seen someone else say it explicitly, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I know a book is going to be like that, it does put me off slightly.
Oh. Will you be looking for more from this author?
Again, with this one, I'm not sure. I think because I would probably give the other ones a shot if I had more time to read and sit down, but you know what my reading schedule's like. I just can't put anything in unless I've been specifically asked to read it. So, at the moment I probably wouldn't. However, I think maybe I'd like to read some of his in future that's not so experimental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tricky one. All right, well, I guess I'll hear more from you in the future about that particular author then. Let's move on to Wanderlust by James Batchelor. What's this one about?
Okay, so this is another fantasy. This is specifically a low fantasy, which is a term I learned recently, so I've been using it a lot ever since. So a low fantasy is a fantasy which is based in the real world, rather than having its own kind of world and lore that's built up around the plot, which is I really like, because a lot of the fantasy I digest via games is very big, historical, made-up world, so it was really nice to read fantasy that was actually in modern day, and it was set in England and Scotland, which was quite nice. So this one, what attracted me to this one was really the kind of concept of the world. So we're following a girl called Amelia, a young woman, and she lives in a society where those who are magic, they're called the Wandless, are persecuted by non-magic people, and they're seen as bad, they're feared, and they're put in these camps, which aren't fun campsites, unfortunately. They're pretty much imprisoned in these camps away from normal society, so people without magic can feel safe. So it's got some very kind of interesting themes already. Mm-hmm. We basically, at the start of the story, Amelia has just escaped, and we're following her trying to get up to Scotland from England to safety, basically, and it's following her journey.
Cool. Did you believe the characters were real?
Yeah, it did feel really... The characters were really good. It's a very plot-driven... This is a novella as well, I've got to mention that, rather than a full-length novel. It's very plot-driven. You're put straight in the action. There's loads of action in it, which I liked. I do tend to read a lot of emotional, in-your-own-thoughts sorts of books, so that was quite a nice contrast, actually. The characters are great. Amelia's a really good character to follow. I really liked her. I really identified with her. She's a really good person, and she's just trying to be safe. She's had enough, you know, of being kept in this basically concentration camp. She's on the run. You've got some interesting characters who are following her, so you find out a little bit more about their lives. There's a couple of other minor characters as well who I really thought were really good.
Are they going to be used again, do you think? Is there a series or at all?
I don't know, actually. That's something I haven't spoken to the author about. But one thing I did feel was I felt like the novella could have been a novel. As it was so action-focused, although the characters in the world were developed, there could have been even more development. So there could have been, like, some lore, like, more history, maybe, about the Wanderlust. There is one incident that's quite key and is mentioned, but... When I was reading it, I was kind of thinking, you know, I want to know a bit more about the Wanderlust before they were persecuted. I want to know what life was like, you know, back in the day when the Wanderlust and the non-Wanderlust lived together. And I want to know kind of what initiated that process of the two not getting on. So I felt with even more backstory, I reckon it could have been a full-length novel.
Gosh.
I read it all in one go. Okay. It was really good. I sat outside and I thought, I'm just going to read a couple of chapters of this. And then I was like, oh, I've read it.
Excellent.
I've read the whole thing.
How long did it take you to read it?
Couple of hours.
Okay. As you say, perhaps if James had gone into the backstory a little bit more, or the background a little bit more, it could have been a novella. It could have been a novel. Would it have felt like padding, do you think? Or would it have...
I think if it was done the right way, it wouldn't. Because one kind of hoping is that James revisits this world now and writes more, because I want to know more about the world.
Sounds like you might have a book too there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I hope so. It is a really interesting world, and I think there could be more written about the future from what the ending was like, but there could be more about the past as well.
Actually, I was going to ask you about the ending. I was going to say, how did you feel about it? But actually, since you've answered that before I've asked it, do you feel the story started in the right place?
Yeah, I do. It started right in the middle of the action.
Excellent.
And I like that. It was, you were literally thrown into it and you were like, whoa, what's going on? Okay, we're right in the middle of some sort of fight. and I thought that was really good.
Good stuff. Did the title and cover marry well with the content, do you think?
I love the title. The one thing I didn't like about it was the cover. I just didn't get on with the cover, and unfortunately. It's really difficult because I know I'm not alone in this. I don't like people being on covers, like real people.
Right.
I know from what I've seen, I think we might have discussed this before, but I know that usually British people tend to veer away from people on covers. American people, audiences are more likely to go for that, especially in romance. Whereas British people usually want the version that doesn't have the person on the cover. But I really felt like with this one, it just felt underwhelming. It didn't sell it. Like, it was a good enough photo, but I just don't like photos on covers. I think what would have been better would have been some sort of graphic design, or maybe quite a simple cover, maybe with like a broken wand on the front or something, or something to symbolise the wandless rock, because what you've got on the cover now is Amelia, basically, on the run. Mm-hmm. But I think something more symbolic would have been better.
Right. Now, you're saying about Amelia being on the front, and then you've got the title beneath. I agree to the point, because with the title and the, I can't think of another way of saying it, but the wispiness around the title, yeah, had that have been much more conveyed over the cover rather than a person. Having said that, perhaps that the person on the front brings in the reality of her everyday life. Perhaps it's that.
Yeah, I think it's really hard, because I was actually looking at other fantasy covers to try and compare. When I was writing my review, and the problem is, fantasy is so saturated with high fantasy, so the ones with the lore and the made up worlds,
yeah,
that it's really hard to compare covers. But yeah, I don't know, I personally wouldn't have picked the book up based on the cover.
Okay, it's interesting. It's always useful to know these things, actually, because when a book is self published, you've got to have every single box ticked, and you're not going to please every single person that's going to read it.
The cover's a really difficult thing to get right as well, because if you're self-publishing for the first time, you know, you're not necessarily in that industry already that understands those things. I mean, I don't necessarily understand that much about covers, because I've never worked in publishing. I know what I like, but I don't understand the actual science behind it. So I think that's possibly a really big challenge with self-publishing, because I imagine the majority of people who self-publish don't understand the science behind covers and what works and what doesn't.
I think a lot of the time it's a case of suck it and see.
Yeah.
Regarding this particular one, though, I think perhaps if he was going to release a second book, that there's likely to be a similar cover if he's going to keep branding on top of it all. So maybe if he does listen to our feedback and others' feedback, it might help make him go into a particular way, perhaps.
Yeah, and I have seen authors before who've had one style of cover and then they've changed it as well. So I know authors. I know Marion Keyes did that recently, and she's completely updated the style of her covers.
I know it can hurt when you're a self-published author and that is your debut book and people not sure about the cover, but, you know, you kind of take that on board and improve for the next one. As I say, you're not going to please everybody, but it's useful to know what works and what doesn't.
Definitely.
Right. Saying all of this, we both know James Batchelor from our NaNoWriMo years. And it's worth mentioning that he was a guest on Writer's Block radio show a few years ago and had just been writing potentially this book. I don't know if it was this book, but he was just starting to write a particular book. So it's great to see, if it was this one, it's great to see that it's finished.
Yeah, it was so nice to have a really local author as well. I really liked that, to be able to review someone that is pretty close to me geographically. So yeah, that was good.
Definitely. Excellent. Right, okay then. So I think probably your theme for all of these was fantasy and perhaps a bit out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that accurately describes all of them. I feel like this was a completely different batch of books than what I would usually have read.
Right, so do you want to let people know how to get in touch with you if they have got a book? Although, that said, I'm sure you've not got any spaces for quite some time.
I do have spaces coming up. It's a busy time at the moment, but I do have spaces coming up. So it's worth getting in touch anyway, just to see kind of what I've got on my calendar. So my website is pagesplacesandplates.com. If you're an author, you'll find a reviews policy on there, which explains about the genres that I review. And if there's any sort of books I don't review, definitely read that before submitting.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being on here this month. And hopefully we'll hear from you next month.
Yeah, with a completely different batch of books, I'm sure.
Excellent stuff. Thanks so much, Hannah.
See you later.
Take care. Bye-bye.